So when Bill and Charlie asked if I would share, I don't like to say that I'm preaching. I think it's more of a sharing. This past year has been an incredible year of growth. Young Life puts us through amazing trainings where I get to go to, Florida and learn stuff. And so this year was an incredible year of just learning of who I am this year and how can I grow in Christ. One of the biggest questions that I get asked from kids, I've been working with kids for about 8 years now, volunteering my time, is why doesn't God speak to me? Why can't I hear him? Why don't I know his voice? And this is what I'm always like, man, that's a great question. And so I began to think, do I even know God's voice? Do I know what he's trying to say to me? And this is what Jesus says in John 10. I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Today, I would love to share with you what I have learned of how do I listen to God? How do I know his voice? What has been my journey and how do I know it's him speaking to me? And it has been such an amazing experience of just a lot of reading and a lot of learning. And I'm glad that I get to share that with you guys today. So I am honored and thankful that I get this opportunity. So let me pray real quick. So Lord Jesus, I pray that you would speak today. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would speak through me and that that we would know your voice today. In your name, amen. All right. So one of the things that has helped me develop how do I hear God's voice is this first thing is developing a friendship with Jesus. And that is, how can I start to view Jesus as a friend? Out loud in the crowd, how do you view Jesus? I ask that to Bryce and almost every kid that I meet with. How do you view Jesus? Anyone? Out loud. Friend. Definitely. Great. What else?
Savior.
Awesome. What else?
Protector.
Love it. Comforter.
Redeemer.
Redeemer.
Lord.
Constant companion.
Commander of the armies of heaven.
Wow, yeah.
Shepherd.
Yeah.
He's your savior.
Jesus is so many things to us. A response that I get from kids is that he's a friend, he's a brother, he is a hero, and he is all of that. And what has helped me is this year, I've been trying to see Jesus as a friend and see him as a person, not just someone that died on the cross thousands of years ago, but he is someone that I can be with today, and that I can know today. And I can know who he is through the scripture and just spending time with him. And so this is what John 15, 14 to 15 says. It's on the screen, right? You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. When I first read that, that blew my frickin' mind. I was like, God, you want me to know what you want, what you know? That's incredible. You are the creator of the universe. You did all this, and you want to know me personally. I am no longer just some servant. I'm not just someone that you want to use, but I am a person to you. You want to be my friend. I remember growing up in Greenwich on Taconic Road and coming home from the bus. I was always the first stop to get picked up and the last person to get off. I think I was in second grade. I got off the bus and I just ran down my driveway just crying. I busted in the door and my mom's like, "What's wrong?" I just went, "I have no friends. I don't know anyone. There's no one around me. I have no neighbors. I have no friends." We all are dying to have a close friend. We're all dying to have someone that we know is there for us. And the beauty is that Jesus says, no longer do I call you servants. I call you friends. I think in prayer, We know it's a conversation. But a lot of the time, how are we viewing that friendship in prayer? Am I just going to be with friends with Jesus just so that I can get something? Am I being friends with Jesus or friends with someone else just because they have a sweet house or because they have a lot of food or because I can get something from them? Is there an agenda attached with being a friend with someone? And I think sometimes we could do that with Jesus. Jesus, I want to be friends with you just so I can go to heaven, just so you can give me what I want. And that is so far from what a real, true friendship with Christ should be, because he has given us the opportunity to know him in a real way. Friends are approachable, and they're relational, and it's intentional. And that's what I love about Jesus saying, I want all of that with you. And you have the opportunity for that all the time. The next thing that has helped me develop a friendship with Jesus and to listen to him and know his voice, next slide, is to be mindful of his presence. I love what Angela said, that the Holy Spirit, that we are a conduit of the Holy Spirit, that he abides in us. And that is something that still boggles my mind. And then John 15:14, right? Yeah, 15 to 21. If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. I read that I will never leave you. I am with you forever. I will show myself to you. What has helped me develop to know his voice is to know that Jesus is in us and he's with us, and that it takes a change in our minds to know that Jesus is with us the whole time. And what would it be like? I've read somewhere, and Bill preached this one time, that we have around 50 to 70,000 thoughts a day. And I'm the type of person, I was an architect student, and so they would make us think, all right, when you're designing a building, where is this light socket? How high is the light switches? What color is the window pane? What does the floor look like? What does the outside look like? So we have to think about everything. And even without that, if I see a train roll by, I think about, wow, how does that work? Who's driving it? What color is it? Who made that? Who's driving it now? How do I get one? And now my mind is always racing, thinking, it's just crazy. But then I think, how often is Jesus involved in those thoughts? Is it just me thinking to myself and trying to make decisions? Is it just me thinking to myself? Or am I allowing the God of the universe, the friend that we all know, to be a part of those thoughts and to be a part of that? And when I started to picture and walk my days knowing that I am not alone, and that's what Bryce was saying, that we are not alone because he is with us forever, and that he is in us. And I can say that he uses us through the Holy Spirit, but also he is with us at all times. Are we accessing that power? Are we leaning into that Christ is in our thoughts? And are we holding every thought captive? One word is the word of introspection, the idea that we think too much on our own. And I think I found myself, I will think myself crazy sometimes. I'm going to hike Mount Kilimanjaro in June, and so I need to think about how is I going to get there, who am I going to go with, what do I need to pack, all these decisions. If I tried to do that on my own, I would go crazy. If I tried to do Young Life on my own, I would go crazy. But it's great as I have a team with me to help. Sometimes we feel like I'm doing this by myself. But changing our mindset to think that Jesus is with us and have a mindfulness of his presence, we don't have to think alone. We don't have to act alone. But we have the greatest person in mankind to help us with that. The next thing that has helped to really know God's voice is to really create space for him. Jesus was a busy guy. It wasn't like he was just lounging a lot of the time, sipping martinis or whatever he did. He was a busy guy. Wherever he went, there were crowds. Not like one or two people, but crowds. Thousands of people were around him. He would wake up from his rock, and there would be crowds of people in front of him. It wasn't like that he could get alone very easily. And it wasn't like his attention wasn't wanted from him. But this is what it says. Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that the crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. And Mark, after he's just prayed for, after he healed a ton of people, it said early in the morning he got up and went to the mountain and prayed. I think if Jesus is able to do that with the amount of work that he did, what is stopping me from doing that? Am I giving space to listen and hear God's voice? Or am I thinking that if I just have my phone here, I can hear him too. I can multitask and hopefully hear what he's saying. I don't think Jesus was doing all this. I think he put away his spiritual cell phone and was listening and praying with God. I think if this was my story, it was said, but Kevin often withdrew to lonely places and slept. I'm not praying the way that he is. I often slept. But that's not what Jesus did, right? He had to fall asleep on the boat when it was a storm just to find some sleep. But he knew what was important. He knew that he needed to be in touch with God, his Father, to rejuvenate him, to refresh him, and to encourage him. And I think, man, we are missing the mark if we're not doing that ourselves. That I am missing the mark if I don't do that myself. If I try to go each day just trugging along without creating space to hear. And that is just hard. I think about our days and it's just full. I look at my Google Calendar and I just look at, wow, I have a lot today. When can I fit that in? But we'll talk about it in a little bit. The last thing that has helped is to listen. I think listening is one of the most incredible things that we get to do to other people. It shows people respect. It shows people that we love them. One of the greatest things that I get to do as a coach and a Young Life leader is I get to sit with kids and students and not say a word, but ask one question and then hear their answer and just listen to them and just hear them speak of their story. Jesus brought Peter, James, and John up on a mountain, and he was transfigured before them. He was shining white. And Peter, of course, was like, hey, I'm really frightened. I don't know what to do. Why don't we just build stuff for you, Elijah, and Moses, because they're here too now. Why not? Let's just do that. But then a cloud just surrounds them and envelopes them, and then a voice comes out, and it says, this is my son whom I love. Listen to him. It didn't say, remember him. It didn't say, see him. It didn't say, it didn't even say follow him, but it said listen to him. That they created space, Jesus created space for those three to be on the mountain, and they hear the voice of God say listen to him. I think if God tells them to listen to Jesus, I think I should listen to Jesus as well. And that is just even more complicated to think about. Well, if I'm supposed to listen to Jesus, how am I supposed to know what he's saying? But if we don't create the space and the opportunity to hear God, then I think it just gets tougher. In prayer, I think we talk way too much. God, I just pray that you would give me this, and I just want this, and that you would just do this. Amen. In a conversation between two people, if someone talks the whole time, it's not a conversation. It's just someone speaking. But prayer is listening. It's a conversation. And I find myself, I don't listen enough to Jesus and listen to God. I don't listen enough to the Holy Spirit to groan through me to know what he wants to pray about. I know what I want, but am I given the opportunity to know what God wants? And listening allows that to happen. And listening is what I wish that I could do better of. Some practical things. The idea of being a friend with Jesus, it really helped me was to create a new language, to pray differently. Charlie loves praying, Heavenly Father God, bam, every time. Other people go, Lord Jesus, bam, they pray. what helped me was to say when I prayed to God and to Jesus, well, Jesus is my friend. And just to treat him differently and just to view him differently, to look at who is he as a person. What were his characteristics? He was playful. He was fun. He got angry. He had all the emotions that a human had. So instead of thinking of Jesus as just this big guy, he was so approachable that I just dove into who is he as a person as well. And how can I really know him? And part of that was to really treat him as a friend. And treating him as a friend means creating space and to know that I am not alone in him. And so the mindfulness part of it was helping to have an ongoing dialogue. So sometimes when I'm walking through the day or driving, Connecticut has some of the craziest drivers in the world. When I was in Ohio, I was the owner of the streets. No one bothered me because I would just go speeding past them. Out here, you know, it's just like crisscross applesauce, just people going crazy. So every time I almost get into an accident and someone tries to hit me, it's just one of those things I just say, thank you, God. Thank you that it didn't happen. Are we having that ongoing conversation with God throughout the day? Are we speaking to him and saying, where are you in this? The great thing is that God is in everything. You know, he's in nature. He's in scripture. He's through our people. Are we acknowledging his presence when we feel him and see him? I was supposed to design a library for college, and I was designing all night, and then around 3 in the morning, I started walking back to my house, and I just stopped, and in front of me was this tree just shining in front of me, and I literally stared at the tree for an hour, and I was like, what am I doing? And I got out of it, and I just started walking, and then I just felt the saying to me, it wasn't a voice, but it said, basically, Kevin, I want you to design a library like that tree. It's a tree of knowledge. I want you to design a library like that. And I said, where did that frickin' come from? Why? But I would later learn, okay, that's just me seeing God's creation. And that's just me acknowledging that he's there. And just knowing that he is real. And so throughout my day, I try to talk and listen to God and know that he's with me. And then I can hear him. The idea of creating space, I think, might be one of the most difficult things that I try to do. I think we put too much pressure in thinking, I need to wake up at 5 in the morning and do it for an hour and sit perfectly and then go outside and do all this. I think that is so much pressure. Sometimes it's necessary, but I don't think it needs to be that intense. There was a TED Talk that said, if you spend 10 minutes a day of silence, stress will not be as great as it used to be. I find my moments of creating space for Jesus in the car when I'm driving. I turn the radio off. I find space for Jesus by sitting at my desk, closing the door, and just sitting in silence. I find space for Jesus when I'm just walking. A lot of people run away from New York City when they want to see God and hear him. I actually go towards New York City now for some reason. I'm drawn to the city. And I have found nooks and crannies and places in the city where I can hear God and I can feel his presence. It takes work, but it's there. And if I can do it in New York City, I think we could probably do it anywhere in the world, in the busiest and loudest city in the world. There are pockets in our day where we can just sit. Maybe not 10 minutes, maybe it's a minute, maybe it's 30 seconds, maybe it's 10 seconds, just to create space for him. If Jesus walked through the doors right now and said, like he did to Zacchaeus, come down from the tree, I want to go to your house. How quickly would we get out of our seats and go set everything up and get ready for him, clear our schedules and spend time with him? I don't think it's any different. Because Jesus is with us right now and saying, I want to spend time with you. And so when I think about that, I think, why is it not a priority in my life? And what would it take for it to be a priority in my life? Where can I spend time with him? In an intentional way. I think a space needs to be quiet. It helps a lot. We need to be relaxed. And we need to be distraction-free, for sure. No emails. No cell phones. No nothing. No Facebook. Just to be there and to say, this is my time with you. I'm not married, but I know that in a relationship and in a marriage that having a date night can save marriages like crazy. When was the last time that we went on a date with Jesus and was intentional with him and spent time with him in that way and gave him all of our attention that way. Because he is longing and loving to do that. The idea of listening is real simple. They actually taught us, how do you listen in Young Life, like practical ways? And one of them is eye contact and posture. I'm not lying down when Bryce is talking to me. I'm like, yeah, I'm listening. I'm not on my phone, but I am intentional with it. I am looking at him. I am looking at the person I'm listening to. I'm nodding my head like, I heard that. I am responding also. I'm not just a vegetable, but I am present and I am listening. I'm not thinking of anything else. I'm not wanting to do anything else, but I am there. I am present. And I think that's a big part of it, that we need to be present, or I need to be present to hear God's voice. Those are the four things that has helped me just to know God's voice. And this was in February. I was in Colorado for another training, and they said, go spend time with Jesus. In silence, go spend time with Jesus. It's been a long week. Go do what you need to do. I said, awesome. So I went outside because it's Colorado. It was a beautiful day. I sat in a chair, and I closed my eyes, and I just was silent for 30 minutes. Around the time it was, but I began to walk through Greenwich in my mind. I began to have a vision of me walking through the streets of Greenwich, praying over the buildings, praying over the people that I saw, and out through the corner, lurking, I see a demonic presence. And I knew, what is that? You do not belong here. I did not experience spiritual warfare until I came to Greenwich. I was blind to it growing up. But now that I am here and working in this capacity, I see it more than any other thing. And I saw this demonic presence, and I cast it out in Jesus' name. And out of the corner of my ear, I heard a voice say, Kevin, I love you. I am proud of you. And it kept replaying in my head, Kevin, I love you. I am proud of you. That was the first time that I've ever heard God's voice so clearly and so good to my heart, because I was questioning, what am I doing in Greenwich? It's a battle. I'm tired. But to hear God say, Kevin, I love you and I'm proud of you, meant that I'm ready to do anything now. Nothing can get in my way now. If I didn't spend those 30 minutes of just sitting there and trying to hear God's voice, I'd be very different than I am right now. But to have the confirmation of where I am today changed everything. So every morning I wake up, whenever I wake up, sometimes it's early, sometimes it's late, and I sit in my room for 10 minutes and I'm silent before the Lord. Maybe I'll ask him one question, but I just try to listen to see what he wants to say. And so I would love to give you the opportunity, not to do 10 minutes today right now, but just to experience what I do. So everyone, uncross your legs, get real nice and relaxed. And this is what I do. Everyone close your eyes. So I start with my eyes closed, and I breathe God's name. I breathe in knowing that he loves me, and I exhale God's name. And then through that, I don't think about anything else. Nothing about my day. I don't think anything. And sometimes it takes a minute for me to clear my mind. Sometimes it takes me 10 minutes to clear my mind. But the idea is to be in his presence and to know that he is there. And so I want to give you this gift of just being in his presence right now. So as you exhale, I want you to silently breathe God's name, or silently breathe a characteristic of who you know God is. And then when it's time, I will pray for us. And this all came from the idea on Psalm 46, to be still and know that I'm God. So on your own. Be still and know that I'm God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Jesus, thank you that you are a friend. Thank you that you are always with us, and that through your Holy Spirit that we may know you, and that you speak through us and you pray through us. I ask that you would help us to create space for you, that you would make yourself known to us. I ask that you would speak to us and that we would know your voice. Help us to listen to you the way that your Father instructed Peter, James, and John to do. Lord, we apologize, and I apologize that silence can be painful sometimes and really tough. So help us to be silent before you during our days and to acknowledge your presence there. Lord, we pray all this in your name. Amen.